Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Friday, as I like to say, Fri-yay. It is the 1st of February, February 1st, 2019. January is now in the books. Can you believe that? My goodness, 2019 already off to a fast start. Things are getting a bit back to normal here on the campus of Michigan State University. As many of you know, these past 2 days have been a bit crazy. The university has been closed due to inclement weather. We're talking lows of like negative 20 plus degrees. Yeah. I know. Yep. Ice cold, Andre. Ice cold, Andre. And it's still ice cold outside, but, you know, this feels like the Bahamas compared to what the last 2 days have been. All right. So with that being said, you know, I looked at my thermometer in my car and it was like 14 degrees, which feels a lot better, again, than what we've experienced so far this week. And students are back in class. The university is open. Things are getting back to normal here on this Friday. So, a lot to get to. This is going to be a very busy hour of WKAR's current sports because it is the final show before the big game, Super Bowl 53, out in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The LA Rams taking on the New England Patriots. We will finally give you our thoughts and predictions on this game. You know, yesterday was a fun show. We had Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio joining us live from Radio Row at the Super Bowl, which is just crazy. You know, I've been listening to a few broadcasts nationally from shows who are right there on Radio Row, and there's so many celebrities that come in the house for the Super Bowl leading up to that Sunday. I know Kevin Hart was seen walking around and cracking jokes left and right. Just a very fun time being on Radio Row, and Deshaun gave us a firsthand experience of what that has been like for him. All right, so we will talk Rams, Patriots, give you our thoughts on the game. For those that tuned into yesterday's show know as well, when we closed it out, we gave you some of the fun prop bets that are on the line for Sunday. We'll rehash a few of those, and I may even make a few picks when it comes to those as well. I'm crossing my fingers because we may get on the show Trevor Darnell, who is out in Vegas. He works for a casino out there, and you know his dream is to work in the sports betting market because that's becoming a huge market now, especially with the United States of America officially legalizing it and opening it up for states to get in the sports betting game. All right, so we may get Trevor on. That's kind of up in the air, but who I know we will have on the show today. It's Friday, and each and every Friday we welcome Johnny Lewis, founder of Blessed Body Training, on the show. We'll get his thoughts on the Super Bowl as well. And, of course, he will have a fitness tip that you can use both in the gym and in the kitchen. All right. We'll also talk some Michigan State sports, and we will touch on tomorrow evening's Michigan State men's basketball game as Tom Izzo Spartans will play host to Indiana. College game day will be in the house. Doors open at 9:30 a.m. with the broadcast starting at 11 a.m. Should be an interesting atmosphere there. So we'll dive into that as well. So as you see, our plate runneth over on this Friday edition of Current Sports. You know what's next? Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. This news broke today. Get this. This year, Lansing Ignite and the Michigan State University men's soccer program will play in the Capital Cup on April 16th at Cooley Law School Stadium right here in Lansing, Michigan. Now, this will be a yearly event. The match is included in Lansing Ignite season ticket packages. Michigan State head coach of the soccer program, Damon Rensing, is looking forward to the event and is hoping a similar energy will surround the Capital Cup as the Crosstown Showdown, which happens between, of course, the Lansing Lugnuts and the Michigan State baseball team on an annual basis. But this is a really cool event, and I really think this partnership is great, especially as Lansing Ignite kicks off its inaugural season. Very cool stuff there. Again, mark your calendars for that event, April 16th. All right, tomorrow, the Izzone will host College Game Day, the very popular college sports show put on by ESPN, the worldwide leader. Doors open at 9:30 a.m. at the Breslin Center to prepare for the game against Indiana. That will be a 6 p.m. tip time against the Hoosiers for the Spartans. The College Game Day show, as I just mentioned, again, that begins at 11 a.m. Connor Mathis, behind the glass, engineer of this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. You know, we had Jack on yesterday. He was engineering on Thursday, and he said he will be attending the College Game Day broadcast. Will you be in the house for that? I'm curious.
Maybe. I'm not sure. Well, it depends on when I roll out of bed.
I wonder how the crowd's going to be. I mean, 9:30 a.m. I wonder how long that line's going to be.
I think it'll be fine. I think they'll fill it up just because it's inside.
Right.
I just don't know if it's going to have like the same like as football game day where people are lining up like 3 hours.
Oh yeah,
in advance.
There's levels to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be that kind of mood, or if it's going to be more of, well, it starts at 11, so we'll get there 30 minutes beforehand and just kind of fill in. I think it's probably going to be more like that just because it's going to be colder, too.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was kind of crazy when, you know, I emceed the pep rally the last time ESPN's College Game Day was here, and the line was pretty crazy. There were media outlets from the local television stations outside, and the lower bowl, of course, was filled. And then you even had some of the stands above the lower bowl that were also filling up. So we'll see.
I'd imagine that. I mean,
yeah. But what I wonder, though, and this is the idea that I kicked around earlier this week. I mean, with the ESPN report that came out, Dan Murphy, Paula Levine, detailing this 47-page report on how Michigan State totally missed the ball when it comes to numerous sexual assault allegations, also as it regards to, of course, the Larry Nassar scandal. I wonder how Michigan State students feel about ESPN. I don't know.
I'm kind of on the fence. I think you're going to have some boo birds show up. I think so. I think there's going to be some, but I think majority are probably just going to be there for, you know, the game day atmosphere. But it would not shock me if they got some initial boo birds, because
and you know, Tom Izzo will be there, of course, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team. I'm curious whether or not the game day panel will ask him about what's gone down and maybe that report.
I don't think they're gonna ask him. We can get stone cold on your intro button. Yang, you never know.
We'll see. I think they will. I think Jay Billis or Seth or Jay, one of those.
Jay Billis asked him, I think he might get like something other than a brick wall response, but you never know.
No, you know, Izzo would just defend the university, you know, and say that, hey, we're healing right now. It'll be the, you know, it'll be the PR answer, but I think he will be asked. I think you have to if especially looking at the way ESPN has gone at Michigan State. But yeah, so that would take place tomorrow, as you know by now. Josh Langford out for the season with a stress injury on that injured ankle. He will have surgery, thus ending his season. It is expected that freshman Aaron Henry will have to contribute more minutes with Langford out. Also, Cassius Winston will have to continue his big minutes. Matt McQuaid as well. The Spartans have gone 7-1 since Josh Langford has been out. MSU comes off a loss against Purdue this past Sunday. Currently, the Hoosiers are 3-7 in conference play. I think this one will not even be close. And the Spartans should embarrass the Hoosiers. Just my take. All right, the Iowa Hawkeyes will host number 5 Michigan on the men's college basketball hardwood tonight, 7 p.m. tip time. This will be the only time these two teams see each other in the regular season. Michigan has lost 3 of its last 4 games at the Hawkeyes Arena, but will need that to change if they want to stay atop the Big Ten standings. Also, the Michigan State women's basketball team, after canceling Thursday's game due to weather, Michigan State will now host Purdue on Sunday. Purdue is unranked. Michigan State is currently ranked 22nd in the nation. That will be a 2 p.m. tip time for the Spartans, led by Susie Merchant. The Spartans have had success this year being able to work the ball inside to the lone senior, Jenna Allen. She is a versatile big and has been able to hit threes as well. Shea Colley and Taryn McCutcheon, strong point guards who have great court vision and defensive skills. Shea Colley, coming back from an injury, has been playing really well for the Spartans as of late. The main focus will be on stopping junior Dominique Oden, who led the Boilermakers with 18 points. She is on Purdue's all-time scoring list with 1,228 points. The Boilermakers are coming off a loss against Nebraska. The last time the Spartans played a game was Sunday, January 27th, against Michigan in Ann Arbor. That was the first road win in the Big Ten Conference of the season for MSU. All right, the Michigan State hockey team will host the Badgers of Wisconsin this weekend. Tonight's puck drop, 7 p.m. Tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. at Munice Arena. MSU fell 5-3-3-0 earlier this season to Wisconsin on the road out in Madison. The Badgers are 9-11-4 this year, 2-6-2 on the road. MSU is 9-13-4 overall this season and 7-5-1 at the friendly confines of Munice Arena. The Detroit Pistons squeaked by the Dallas Mavericks at Little Caesars Arena last night. The Mavs were without Dennis Smith Jr., Wesley Matthews, DeAndre Jordan. Also, all three of those players, this is why they were without them. They were lost in a trade, and Luka Doncic also was out due to a sore left ankle. And this concerns me. The Pistons playing a completely depleted roster in Dallas, barely beating the Mavs. I mean, come on, man. Blake Griffin, who was named as an all-star reserve for the NBA's Eastern Conference, finished the night with 24 points, 10 boards, 6 assists. Again, he'll be heading to Charlotte as an all-star for the 6th time in his career. Also, want to pass this news along. Connor, I have just been notified, courtesy of my smartphone, that Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki have also been named as NBA All-Star reserves. I would imagine they've been named because of a few injuries to the reserves this year.
Because Victor Oladipo's leg is non-existent right now.
Right, right.
So Dwayne Wade got the nod in, and I don't know who was injured on the west side where Dirk came in, but I mean, it's those two's final season, so it's not really surprising that Adam Silver put them in.
That's going to be a really cool moment. I'm pretty sure there'll be some kind of swan song for those two players out in Charlotte, maybe prior to the game or during the game, after the game, who knows, but they will certainly be saluted. All right, and speaking of that trade, again, the Mavs have acquired all-star forward Kristaps Porzingis and 3 other players from the New York Knicks in exchange for the package that includes point guard Dennis Smith Jr. and 2 future first-round picks, Wesley Matthews and DeAndre Jordan, who both have expiring contracts and could be buyout candidates, will also go to NYC. Trey Burke former Michigan basketball star, is averaging 12 points per game this year. He is heading to the Mavs along with Porzingis, Courtney Lee, and another former Michigan men's basketball star in Tim Hardaway Jr. I'll reserve my thoughts on how I feel about that trade later on for Reflection Friday, okay? So stay tuned. All right, the Detroit Red Wings will play host to the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight at 7:30 p.m. This will be the first game the Wings have played since their 3-2 victory over the Edmonton Oilers on January 22nd. This will also be Toronto's first time back since the All-Star break, and it'll include a new face, Jake Muzin, who was acquired via trade early this week from the L.A. Kings. And as you all know by now, the New England Patriots will play the Los Angeles Rams this weekend, Super Bowl 53 on Sunday for the NFL Championship. Tom Brady and head coach Bill Belichick look to win their sixth Super Bowl together, the ninth time those two have played and coached in a Super Bowl for the Patriots. Rams head coach Sean McVay looks to become the youngest head coach to win a Super Bowl at the tender age of 33. The Patriots are entering the game as the second seed in the AFC after an 11-5 season and playoff wins over the LA Chargers and Kansas City Chiefs on the road and in overtime. The Rams enter the game as the second seed in the NFC after a 13-3 year and playoff wins over my Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints on the road and in overtime. Kickoff 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, CBS we'll have the game. That means you get to hear the prophet that he is. My man, Tony Romo, rock the mic alongside Jim Nance. That's fire stuff. I'm looking forward to
this. If only he could have read defenses like that when he played. If only.
If only, right? And you know, it's so funny because now we're having this conversation whether or not Tony Romo should be a coach in the NFL because of how he sees and views the game. It is crazy, though, because there are multiple montages, especially that final drive that won the New England Patriots the championship game to go to the Super Bowl. That final drive, Tony Romo predicted just about every play and knew exactly what the Patriots were doing. So, crazy stuff. Looking forward to that game, of course, on Sunday. All right. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Call the show, 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News to check out the live stream. You can tweet the show at WKAR News, and you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR.
When you saw that play and you did not see a flag come out?
I think it was to everybody in the building and everybody watching on television, because it seemed like it was about as obvious a call as there is to be made. But, you know, you have to worry about the things you can control and not the things that you can't. And certainly that's something that we can't control. So, you know, as I look to just the whole complexion of the game, you know, there were opportunities before that play, there were opportunities after that play for us to go and win that game, and unfortunately we weren't able to do that.
And you said it was an obvious call, and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell even came out and said it's a play that should have been called. But what was your reaction to the commissioner speaking out and saying, yeah, the play should have been called? It's a little too late for that, but what was your reaction?
I think we all wish that he would have addressed that right after. You know, very soon after, Monday or Tuesday after that game, when he had the opportunity to do that. Obviously, I think he waited until his press conference when he had to be there and had to answer the question. But, Listen, at the end of the day, again, that's something that is out of our control as players and as coaches. Be in a position where those calls are made, especially at those critical times.
And I'm just curious, Drew, has the commissioner reached out to you personally?
No, he hasn't reached out to me, and the guys on the team that I've spoken to, none of them have spoken to him either.
All right, the voice of Drew Brees, the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. As we all know by now, the Saints were eliminated in the championship game. They will not be heading to the Super Bowl. And I just got to get this off my chest, Connor, because this is a conversation that has been going on far too long. I am tired of the whining. Period. Anybody who blames the outcome of a game on the referees, especially when you're looking at one call, it will forever be, to me, a lazy sports argument. The New Orleans Saints had golden opportunities to win that game. The first two drives, you're in the red zone. You come out with two field goals. I believe it was the tight end who clearly dropped a pass in the end zone, the ball right on his fingertips. You got to bring that in. And then, oh, by the way, in overtime, the Saints, if I remember correctly, did get the ball first. And Drew Brees, the man you just heard, and that audio coming courtesy of Good Morning America, that was former NFL great Mike Shanahan, who has really paved quite the career in broadcasting after his playing days. But Mike Shanahan interviewing Drew Brees there. Drew Brees threw an interception. The Saints got the ball first. You score a touchdown. Game over. Saints are going to the Super Bowl. Was it a bad call? Was it one of the worst calls in NFL history? Without a doubt. We all know that. But Saints fans, don't tell me that's the reason why you're not there. Stop it. That play didn't give you points. You want to go to the Super Bowl? How about you score a touchdown, at least on one of those two red zone opportunities that you were gifted at the beginning of the game? I'm tired of it. And then I see this story come out, Connor. Saints fans are boycotting the Super Bowl. Have you seen this story?
No, they're not.
You sit there and say, yeah, we're not going to watch the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl. You're going to watch the Super Bowl. It's the biggest sporting event in the world. I mean, stop it. It's just whining. Complete whining. But this is what's being reported. New Orleans Saints fans are not watching the Super Bowl. Not, quote unquote, watching the Super Bowl. you know, after that pass interference that was missed by the referees in the NFC Championship game, something started floating out on social media about, you know, hey, Saints fans, don't watch the Super Bowl. Here's a direct quote reading from a meme that is making the rounds on social media. Quote, in order for the NFL to feel the boycott of not watching the Super Bowl, you must put all the TVs in your house on, but don't put it on the Super Bowl. Put it on another channel. Because if you do that, it goes on to read, if your TVs are just off, the ratings won't register against it. So you got to have your TVs on, but don't put it on CBS to watch the Super Bowl. Then the NFL will really feel it. I mean, are you kidding me? When you look at the numbers here, you know, CNN actually dove into the numbers. It goes on to read here on the CNN article, the size of a TV audience isn't determined, this is the first point, isn't determined by counting what's on every single screen in the country at a given moment. It's measured through, as we know in TV, Nielsen ratings, which estimates the overall audience based on not everybody in the world, not everybody in the nation. It's based on about 40,000 Nielsen families, which is about 100,000 viewers, families who have been designated and reached out by the Nielsen company to say, hey, can we measure what you watch on a given night on a daily basis? That's how it's measured. They're not looking at Al Martin's TV and saying, oh, Al is not watching the Super Bowl. That counts against the ratings. Totally different. Also, the New Orleans market is tiny in comparison to the measurements, period. 624,000 of the country's 110 million TV homes, that's what the numbers read when it comes to the Nielsen company. 624,000 is the New Orleans market. That's out of 110 million. That's a crumb. That's a crumb, Connor. So I'm just, you know, this is just a great microcosm into how sensitive we are as a society. It really is to me, dude. We cry. Life ain't fair, dude. What, was it a bad call? Sure. But we cry over everything that we feel is not right, that offends us. We got to go out and protest and put it on social media, put together a campaign, put it on literally billboards. Life ain't fair. Move on, man.
I'm more surprised that they haven't complained about the pick in the overtime. That was an egregious pass interference too, but no one seems to complain about that one. One I feel like was worse because he was de-cleated before he had a chance to play the ball, and then it got picked off in overtime. I feel like the NFL sidestepping that too, because that one was. Well, I think that one might have been worse.
I hear
because
you.
That completely turned the game.
Exactly.
At least in the first pass interference, at least the Saints scored.
It just annoys me. Crying and complaining just annoys me. Yeah. You know, I'm old school, man. It's like, pick yourself up, keep it moving, man. It's sports.
This happens. I do understand the frustration though from the Saints that Roger Goodell, who is the head of it, didn't comment.
Because, why does he have to comment?
Because if you look at the other sports leagues, like the NBA, when there's an officiating mistake, what does the NBA do immediately after? They immediately claim responsibility.
But Adam Silver's not saying
but
that.
But it's still Adam Silver's. Like, if they didn't, Adam Silver is accountable. If they missed the two, if they missed that 2 minute report one time on a really bad call, Adam Silver is the one who's going to get the heat because he's the head of the NBA.
But Connor, they've already come out. The referees have already come out and said we've blown the call. Why do you need Roger Goodell to now hold the press?
They want the accountability from the commissioner.
Oh,
that's
stop
all it is.
It.
That's
Just
all it
stop
is.
Whining. It's
they should
whining.
Stop whining about it. But I mean, I can understand the frustration of Roger literally waiting until he was. Told he has
Stop.
To answer these
Roger
questions.
Roger Goodell can do no right. That's just Roger Goodell. Well, everybody hates too. Roger Goodell. I don't think Roger Goodell needs to come out and say, "I'm sorry, fans, we missed the call." What's that going to do? You're still going to be mad
but it's
about
not
it.
Even, but it's not even like. But not, I should rephrase this. Not even Roger Goodell coming out and saying we missed the call, but the fact that the NFL didn't issue a statement until after the fact. It doesn't have to be Roger Goodell. I should probably preface that. It's got to be.
You sound just like Saints fans right now.
No,
you sound so sensitive
I understand it.
And whiny.
No, I understand it.
Come
I understand,
on, man.
I understand it, but it's getting annoying. I get it.
It's so annoying.
It is annoying, but I mean, I can understand that the NFL not coming out and publicly saying we screwed up can piss off some people. I get that.
They did come out and say they missed the call. Maybe not on your respective timeline. Did they do it in the time frame you wanted them to? But they came out and said, yeah, we blew the call. But I'm just sitting here saying to myself, watching that game and looking at the highlights again, that is not the play that puts you out of the Super Bowl. Was it big? And did it kind of shift things? Yeah. But look at the big picture. I'm a big picture guy. There are other moments
that
the Saints handle business. They are there in Atlanta, competing for a Super Bowl championship.
The play calling before the pass interference was ridiculous. You have Ted Ginn hits this giant bomb, and then you pass on first down instead of running the ball.
I know.
And then
know.
On second down, you then run and get stuffed because, they're expecting a run the second time.
Predictable. Sean
and
Payton's
then
play calling.
On the third down, okay, you had a decent idea there, but in the pass interference. But the play calling there was just off.
It was bad.
It was off.
It was bad. Sean Payton, man, come on. Look in the mirror, dude.
Yeah, no,
so, that,
it's partially. It,
we
it's
could go
def-
back
it's definitely
forth.
Partially the Saints' fault. But, I mean, I'm really surprised that the Saints fans and, frankly, anyone who's complaining about this hasn't talked about the OT pass interference. Because that, to me, that was light years worse.
What was
because
you know,
it shifted it completely.
I got a message, Saints fans. Please, shut up. I'm tired of it, man. Let's keep it pushing. I'm so annoyed with this conversation. I've been having this conversation with the homies left and right. I've been having this conversation on social media. I am tired of it. Let's talk Rams and Patriots. And you know, I'm gonna give my prediction right now. Why not? I'm going with, and you know this. Deshaun Tate came on the show yesterday live from Radio Row, and you know, I agree with him. He went with Tom Brady, the greatest
I think, not just quarterback of all time, greatest player of all time, period.
Player, whoa. Ooh,
yeah, ooh, and we could go back and forth about that all day. But
future show.
When you look at your future show, future current sports, I'm going with the Patriots 24, Rams 27. That's my score prediction for this game. You can score all day on that Rams defense. And this is the key, though. If the Rams are going to have a chance, which I do believe they have a chance in this game, one, Todd Gurley can't disappear. He was non-existent in that championship game. He has to show up here. Two, you got to get Tom Brady off his spot. He has all day. He can sit back in that pocket, read the New York Times, sip coffee. It is crazy how much lack of pressure Tom Brady has gotten in the pocket throughout the playoffs, and heck, basically this season, if you ask me. But it happens every single year. Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh have to cause havoc in that backfield. If they do, oh, the Rams got a good shot. I just don't think they can do it. I don't think they will do it, because we've been saying this every game in the playoffs so far for the Patriots. Just get Tom Brady, get some pressure on him, and they have not been able to do that. That's what it comes down to for me. Who you got, Connor?
I'm going to take the Patriots, but I probably, let's say, 21-17.
21-17.
But I will say the Rams.
Wow, okay, you're going kind of low scoring.
I'm going all low right. scoring just because how the Patriots played against the Chiefs. I think Bill Belichick understands that with this Patriot team, it's all about time of possession. He doesn't need right. to score quickly. If he gets into a shootout with these offensive heavy teams, he's going to lose. I think he understands that.
Oh, he knows that. He had a great game plan against the Chiefs.
Against the Chiefs.
The best way to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, keep him off the field.
Exactly.
Dominate time of possession, which they certainly did.
I will say this, though. The Rams, if they want to win, copy the Giants' blueprint. You gotta beat up Tom Brady. You gotta hold the ball. Mm-hmm. You gotta make it nice and easy. If you need a miracle play, fine. You need one or two things to bounce your way. Okay, cool.
Right.
But you have to keep it like within 4 points at all times.
I agree.
If they're getting stopped, you have to go back. If you have to go back and stop them. If they copy the Giants blueprint, I think they can upset it. Also, because their kicker can hit from the middle of the field.
Yeah.
And they're playing in a dome. So.
It's
going to be a good game.
This will not be a blowout.
No.
This will be down
not.
To the wire.
Absolutely
it's going to be reminiscent, I think, of what we saw championship weekend with the NFC and the AFC championship games. All right, what I want to do, I just got word from Trevor Darnell. He's got time right now. Trevor Darnell, who is, again, he's got his nose to the grindstone out in Vegas, working out there, and this is one of the craziest, if not the craziest, weekends in Vegas because of the Super Bowl and the amount of bets that come in. We're going to talk with Trevor and get a firsthand account of what the scene is like out on the West Coast. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Of course, we are talking all things Super Bowl, as the biggest sporting event in the world will be taking place on Sunday, Super Bowl 53 at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. The LA Rams taking on the New England Patriots. You just heard our predictions. Connor Mathis, the man behind the glass, and myself, we are both going with the GOAT. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. I just can't bet against Tom, man. I've seen this story far too often. The man is playing unreal at this age, and I'm going with the Patriots. It's going to take a lot for the Rams to knock them off. Going to be a fun game, though. We hope to get. Do we have Trevor? We got Trevor. Trevor Darnell, and I thank him so much for his time. He is one busy brother, because out in Las Vegas, I can only imagine what the scene is. I've never been in Las Vegas during Super Bowl weekend, but I've heard stories a lot of bets coming in, a lot of people taking in the Super Bowl and laying down a lot of cheese on multiple different areas of the Super Bowl. It's not even just about the game when it comes to betting on the Super Bowl. But right now we've got Trevor Darnell, ticket writer at South Point Casino and Hotel in Las Vegas. Trevor, thank you so much for your time. Just kind of set the scene for us. What is it like out there right now?
The food hasn't gotten too crazy yet. I think come this weekend, tonight, tomorrow night, we're really going to start getting the big money coming in, the big-time bets. Speaking from 2 weeks ago with the conference championship game, the big money came in the last 24 to 48 hours. So we've gotten a few big bets that I will talk about here in a minute. But as of right now, anything crazy hasn't came in as of right now. But did I just hear, are you taking New England just to win the game, or are you talking the point spread also, which is currently at New England -2.5?
I'm taking them to cover that point spread, and I'm taking them to win
the
game.
You like them to cover, huh?
Yes, I like them to cover. It's 2.5 points right now, right, in favor of the Patriots.
Am I allowed to be on the show even though I disagree with you?
Of course, Trevor. That's what makes the world go round. Everybody's got an opinion. It's Sports Talk Radio, baby. So you're going with the Rams. Why are you going with the Rams, Trevor?
I've had this motto the entire year, and it's actually worked really well for me. For my first year out here, I've been simply structurally based off of the point spreads. I have picked games based off of point spreads and the money that has come in based off of the money that's come in at our book in Vegas. And the public is heavy on the Rams, right? On the Patriots, I apologize. Mm-hmm. The public is heavy on the Patriots right now. And I have done very well this year picking my games based off going against the public and taking points. So that's a double whammy for me right now in this game. I'll take the 2.5 with the Rams, and the public is going with the Patriots, so I will go against that. And give me the Rams at +2.5.
You're going with the Rams at +2.5. What are the keys? Well, looking at the game itself, Trevor, what do you think will give the Rams the advantage in this matchup come Sunday?
First and foremost, it's that defensive line. Let's be real. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got two Pro Bowlers. You got Aaron Donald, who's arguably the best football player on the planet right now. I mean, arguably hasn't had the greatest season this year as we thought, but he's, in my opinion, the best defensive lineman in the league. And then you coincide that with Ndamukong Suh, who is obviously an all-pro and one of the better defensive linemen in the league. I think if they can manage to give Tom Brady fits, they can really cause problems on that line and really give the Rams a real good chance. I think the Rams' defense will be the key to them winning this game.
Gotcha. All right, I want to talk about those big bets that have come in. What are some of the biggest bets that you've seen so far as we approach Sunday?
So I want to talk first of all about what the book needs to come in, because I think if we're going to talk about big bets, we need to talk about what the book needs and what the book wants and when in terms to
right.
point spreads, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, of course, of course.
We need the Rams. The Patriots are getting everything. Public-wise, the money is huge on the Pats right now. Public is burying the Pats, so we need the Rams. If the Rams cover, the book will win close to $75,000.
Wow.
If the Pats end up covering, we'll lose close to $15,000 based off of the point spread, just off of that 2.5. So that's discounting the money lines and discounting the parlays.
Okay.
But the big bets that have come in, I have two in particular, nothing too big yet, but the two that stick out right now that I have from last night, we have a $28,000 parlay that came in that was Rams money line and the over at $28,000 that wins around $90,000.
Oh, my goodness.
I think it ended up being about $89,000 is one of them, but $89,000, $90,000 is what it wins. The other one is a prop line that we give out prop lines on the game, and Pats +3.5 at -190 is the price. We had a guy put $38,000 on it that wins $20,000, so he'll get close to, you know, $58,000 back if it ends up coming through.
Dollar bill, y'all. Oh my goodness! And Trevor, so do you just see when these guys come in? Do they just have like backpacks and duffel bags when they come in to place a bet like that?
It's all cash, yes. So they do come in mostly with you know, some sort of a bag, a backpack, you know. You don't see someone just walk in without a backpack with, you know, $70,000 strapped into their name. So
right.
when those guys come in, they do come in with some sort of a bag. And then most of the time they'll warn you if they're cashing out at a big number. So say that they've won, you know, $70,000, $80,000. They'll come in and let you know. They're like, hey, do you have cash in your drawer that can afford this? If not, then I'll go to someone else that does have the cash. Because just depending on how the night's gone for a certain ticket writer like myself, you might have already cast someone out for $20,000,
yeah.
So you're low on money. So
right.
Most of the times, the guys that do have that kind of money that they're going to cash out, they know that that's the case. So they'll ask, hey, do you have this money? If we do, we'll cash it out for them. If it comes to worst-case scenario, we go back to the cage at the sports book and we go get the money for him. So we always honor the bets. It's never an issue.
Love that. Again, we're talking with Trevor Darnell, ticket writer at South Point Casino and Hotel in Las Vegas. And I'm curious, Trevor, how many people have you seen kind of lay down some cheese on the fun prop bets? You know, I'm seeing a few here, like who is the first person the winning QB thanks in an on-field post-game interview. You've got God, wife, family, teammates, fans, any other. I think, you know, God is at plus 800, the wife and family at plus 160, any other is at plus 1300. Will the winning team accept the offer to visit the White House? What food will Trump serve the winning football team? hilarious, right? Because I believe he served McDonald's to the Clemson Tigers when they won the college football championship, right? So have you seen anybody come in and place down some bets on some fun props?
You know, fun-wise, I have one prop that I think is kind of funny that I can tell you about. It doesn't have a great price on it. We don't have a big number on it, but I can tell you a fun one that I think is fun that our book gives out.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a coin toss bet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not will it be heads or tails. It's not. We have that bet, obviously. We also have will it be the Patriots or Rams that win the coin toss. But the one that I think is funny is the one player out of the team that calls it, the player that calls it in the air, will he be correct or will he be wrong? We have that prop bet, which I think is kind of funny.
Oh, that's interesting.
But I do have a few based off of point spreads and how the book fares with it that has some value to it, if you want me to throw those out to you.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Okay, so will there be a roughing the passer penalty called in the game? And if it's called, it must be accepted. The yes is at plus 150. So every 100 you spend, you win 150. The no is at minus 170. So if you bet the no, you have to bet 170 to win 100. We have a lot of money on the no, which is why it's at minus 70. So the book needs the yes. And if the yes comes in, we'll lose about $4,000 on it. We've actually gotten a lot of money on that one.
Oh, man, that's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other one is, will the last play of the game be a QB rush? And the QB rush includes the QB kneel. So if the last play of the game is a QB kneel, that comes in as a win. It opened at plus 140 on the yes, so the yes is actually pretty valuable. Now it's at minus 165, which is extremely invaluable, and the no is opened at minus 160. Now it's up to plus 145. We have a ton of money on the yes, our biggest prop on the yes, and so the book needs to know. We have a 31-6 ticket ratio on that, so 31-6 on the yes to no, and we'll lose about $7,000 I had last night if the yes comes in. So
$7,000.
Those are two props that we need one side or the other to actually not lose a ton.
Wow, that's crazy stuff, man. So I'm assuming, Trevor, is this your first Super Bowl weekend that you've been working out in Vegas?
Oh, absolutely. This is the first weekend I've had a big time, and I usually don't work Sundays.
Right.
Two weeks ago on Sunday when the Patriots and Chiefs played was my first Sunday working as an NFL Sunday.
Right.
And we actually took a Chiefs money line in that game at $250,000, which was the biggest bet that I had that I've seen since I've worked at the book. A guy was there watching the game after he took $250,000, $250,000 on the Chiefs money line. So when we were sweating that out as a book, we were sweating it. If the Chiefs would have won that game, we would have lost a decent amount. But since the Pats ended up pulling it out, we ended up winning pretty big. So
that was
a big win for the book.
I would not have wanted to have been that guy. Did you see him after the game?
Yeah, he was drinking Bud Light like, you know, like your typical guy. Like right. he was just your typical guy that put, you know, a few hundred bucks on it.
Yeah.
He put $250,000 on it. He was just drinking Bud Light and enjoying the game. Obviously, it wasn't $250,000 that he was worried about losing.
I see. I'm pretty sure that brother has a lot in the bank. All right, Trevor. Yeah. That's fun stuff. We'll check back in with you next week. I'm looking forward to chatting how your first Super Bowl weekend out in Vegas experience goes. Trevor, thank you so much for making this a part of your afternoon. Really appreciate that.
Absolutely, my friend. It's always a good time.
The great Trevor Darnell. Love talking with him. That's some crazy stuff, man. Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, this whole gambling thing, just be safe, folks, all right? I don't want to be that brother sitting there sweating $250,000 at the bar putting down. That's crazy, Connor. That's nuts. That's like a scene from the movie Casino with Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci. That's some crazy stuff. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will welcome Johnny Lewis to the show. Of course, Johnny is the founder of Blessed Body Training. We'll close this thing out with another edition of Fit Fridays. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a chat with the one, the only MSU alum, Trevor Darnell, a ticket writer at South Point Casino and Hotel in Las Vegas, kind of giving us an insight into how crazy it is out in Las Vegas when it comes to Super Bowl weekend. He took us through some of the bets that have come through their book at South Point Casino and Hotel, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of bets that come in as many people with the weekend hitting will be flying in to Vegas to enjoy Super Bowl weekend. Connor, I think you have a soundbite as well of the first time that, I don't know if it was the first time in franchise history for these two franchises meeting in the Super Bowl, was it? It was. Yeah, the Rams and Patriots meeting for the first time in the Super Bowl. I believe Kurt Warner was the quarterback at the time. Brady, of course, behind center. We do have a soundbite of that moment, a kind of a throwback moment here.
Super Bowl 36 from New Orleans between the Rams and the Patriots.
Here's Warner, drops it out to Falk. Another Ram first down. This is going to be from 50 yards. That one got over with some extra room. Kurt Warner, picked off. Ty Law down the sidelines, touchdown. Loose, and the Patriots have it. Buckley has got the ball. Here's Brady back. Firing end zone. Touchdown! Patriots, David Patton with a great catch.
Southam in the out. McLean takes a step on. Brady throws it right over to a perfect spot.
Warner. Picked off. That's Otis Smith. And Otis Smith gives it to the Patriots. Adam Vinatieri. That exhibition he put on in the slow storm. Just added to his credentials, and so does Batlam. Warner back again. Has time again. Throws to Falk. Falk is tripped up inside the 10. Kurt Warner. Touchdown Ram.
Both tackles kind of took an outside, and there was no one over the center. So Kurt Warner. corner could just take that quarterback sneak.
A minute 37 left. Warner lost it. And Ricky Pro is going to score. Ricky Pro has come up with some big ones. None bigger than that one.
And now with no timeout, you have to play for overtime.
Here's Brady. Goes out to Redmond again. Redmond gets the first down. Here's Brady again. Up the middle, Park. And it's Troy Brown, and he gets out of bounds. Here comes the blitz, and here's Brady. He dumps it to Wiggins, down to the 30.
I'll tell you, what Tom Brady just did gives me goosebumps.
7 seconds. They got Vinatieri in range, and it's right down the pipe. And the Patriots have won Super Bowl 36. Unbelievable.
That feels like yesterday, man. I never forget that Super Bowl. I was like, oh, man, how old was I? I believe it was like 11 years old watching that 20-17 win as the Patriots beat the Rams February 3rd, 2002. Unreal stuff. Tom Brady, one of his many rings as the Patriots and Rams meet up again, Super Bowl 53 this Sunday. Let's get to Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis as we're coming up here with just, 7 minutes left. Jay Lou, I'm so sorry, man. It's been a Super Bowl-filled show, so we got to cram you in here to close it out. But I want to start by asking you, especially with you being out in the West Coast, you know, Vegas is kind of like your second home. You know, with you living in Arizona, you traveled there many, many times. Who do you got? Do you got the Patriots or the Rams this Sunday?
I have the Rams for sure. I'm not a Patriots fan anymore. I'm not a Tom Brady fan. I'm going for the Rams. Hopefully they can pull it off, but you never know with the Patriots.
You never know because it's Tom Brady.
You never
right?
know.
It is Tom
yeah.
Brady. All right,
it's
well,
Tom
we got
Brady.
Yeah, it is. Right. We got another edition of Fit Fridays with the founder of Blessed Body Training, Johnny Lewis. Johnny, let's dive right into it. And I know you want to talk about how to break a plateau when losing weight. We'll start there.
So I'm going to make it real quick, and I appreciate you squeezing me in because this is the biggest day, one of the biggest sporting events, and the Friday before that. So I appreciate that.
You got
it. Give you some tips to offset all the unhealthy gains because it's like one of the largest food consumption days. So one tip to offset a plateau. Last week we talked about when building muscle. This week we're going to focus on when you hit a plateau and losing weight. So it's three things I want to focus on: intensity, duration, and frequency. So where a lot of people see results, and then once they start an exercise or plan or program, they stick with it, which is good when they see the results. But once you hit that plateau, your rate of change decreases. So at this point, you have to take it to the next level, switching up your workout, increasing your intensity, duration, and frequency. So one example is like if you run a mile every morning and you run an 8 to 9 minute mile, you want to set a goal, shoot for 7. And every day you push towards that goal. And once you hit it, you know, that's a way to break the plateau, and you increase the duration of it. So, like, if you don't have time, you can just try to go faster. But if you do have time, you know, you might want to run 2 miles, you know. So those three things, intensity, duration, and frequency. So frequency is just maybe going more than one time per day. So if you can, you know, try to squeeze an extra workout in at night, you know. So
I like that.
Those are...
Yeah, because, you know, I think what happens, Johnny, is, you know, we start to see the change and we're like, okay, it's working. So we just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. Then we're wondering why we aren't sore. You know, we're wondering why we aren't seeing it, you know, a bigger increase than what we've already, you know, looked at in the mirror. But that's what it is. You got to keep pushing yourself, right?
Yeah, number one takeaway is setting a goal, like setting a higher goal. So you have a record and you just try to beat, you constantly try to beat that record. And that's going to naturally break that plateau when you hit a stop, you know?
Right.
So, I can go into much detail about it, but for time, I'm going to get right into the healthy meal tip of the day.
Yes, I'm excited about this one because this one is it sounds really, really good, man.
Oh, yeah, because I've been doing vegan and vegetarian, so I want to do something for, you know, people that eat meat. So this one is... going to be pepper, salmon, and Parmesan asparagus. It's low-carb, low-calorie, low-fat, high-protein, and packed with nutrients. And it's keto and pescatarian-friendly. Or if you don't have a diet, of course, you can eat it. So,
right.
Not a particular diet. So it's really good. I mean, I make salmon all the time on a daily basis. It's really good, omega-3s.
Yeah.
Really good in protein, lower in fat compared to like chicken.
Well, get this, Johnny. And last night, I did the same thing. I made salmon, but get this, man. I got tired, fell asleep, and I woke up, and I didn't put the salmon in the fridge, and now I got to throw it out because I left it overnight.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Smart. Very smart move by Al Martin there, Connor. but, yeah, I love salmon.
Quite often for me as well. So.
Right, right. I like that, though. Pepper, salmon, and garlic Parmesan asparagus. That is awesome stuff. I'll be eating that. I may try that this weekend, Johnny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I said, got to offset all these gains that we're going to get from these Super Bowl parties. I think it's the number two most consumption day for food after Thanksgiving. It's crazy, right?
That is crazy. All right, brother. Well, hey, wherever you're watching the game at, man, have fun. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you next week, my man.
All right, sounds good. Go Rams.
Go Rams, he says. Go Rams, Connor. Well, we both got the Patriots, man. I just want to see a good game. Want to see a good game. Hopefully, knocking on wood, we don't see some controversial call that we're replaying on Monday and people are upset about.
NFL will not live it down if they make if they screw this up. They will not.
But every game, I feel like there's going to be a few calls that we look at on Sunday where you're like, oh my gosh, how did the referees in the NFL? They mess up calls Sunday after Sunday, all right?
There needs to be some sort of improvement.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm just looking forward to a good game. Hey, wherever you're watching a game at, please be safe. Enjoy it. We'll be back at it same time, same place on Monday. Going to be a lot warmer next week as well. I think we get 1 or 2 days in the 50s, which is crazy. I think on Sunday we'll be in the 40s. Man, that's going to feel like Trinidad and Tobago, man. All right. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game. We'll see you Monday. And as always, be easy, people.